Colossians 3 is where we're going to be this morning as we prepare to receive the Lord's table. We have an exciting day for us, a little different day for us, not an average Sunday for us. We have our picnic this afternoon, so just following this service. We'll be gathering up at the Frank Lisk Park, and I'm sure Pastor Bob will have several announcements for us related to that here in just a little bit. But we're in Colossians 3 this morning. On December the 31st of 2003, Dan Witkowski had planned to take some backcountry ski runs on the last day of the year and then meet up with some friends back at his hometown of Ellensburg, Washington. He was an experienced extreme skier, sometimes a ski teacher, and he faced the day's runs, being experienced as he was, with somewhat of an ease of confidence as someone who had grown up around Alpental, perhaps the most challenging ski area at the Snoqualmie Pass, located in the Cascade Mountains in Washington State. Dan took the chairlift up a 5,450-foot summit that day, wearing his helmet and the usual gear, gloves, a parka, polyester fleece coat, ski pants, a t-shirt, and some long underwear. At the top of the summit, as he got there, on a whim, Dan decided that he would take a snowy chute that he had never been down before. It was not part of the ski resort, and it was outside the safe ski area. Dan took off down the chute, but when he finally reached the bottom, he realized he was lost. And the more he tried to find his way back, the more lost he got. What Dan didn't have along with him that day was something that he desperately needed. He had no food, no water, no emergency kit, but most importantly, he had no compass. Nothing to help him orient himself in order to find himself his way back to the safety of the ski lodge. He hadn't told anyone where he was going or when to expect him back. And worst of all, he broke the unwritten backcountry skier's code when he went outside that designated safe area. He went there alone. Over the next few days, he climbed ridges. He crossed divides and creeks. He traversed basins, shedding gear as he began to hallucinate. He slept only 2 hours at a stretch and believed he was walking with the spirits of the Native Americans who had once lived there. At first, no one knew that Dan was missing. The friends he was supposed to get up with called the family home after he didn't show up as planned. And Robert Witkowski, Dan's dad, drove to the ski resort. He didn't see Dan's car parked in any of the parking lots, and so he just assumed Dan had changed his plans, so he just turned around and went back home. But in the middle of the night, when Dan still had not returned, his dad called the ski resort to put a ski patrol. The search that unfolded over the next 5 days was massive. 225 people took part, putting in 9,000 hours. And on the fifth day of the search, a ski patrol crew found him just a few hours before the search was to be suspended. The rescuer who found him thought at first that Dan was dead. And then he opened his eyes. His internal temperature was 85 degrees. His hands and feet were riddled with frostbite. He had lost 20 pounds. About 1 month later, Dan Witkowski's lower legs were amputated. On December the 31st of 2003, Dan made a decision that altered the course of his life. And tragically, he did not have the compass that he needed that day to orient him in the right direction. And I open with that to say that, like Dan, many a believer walks through life disoriented. He knows that he's saved. He knows that he is a Christian. But he wanders, seemingly aimless in his spiritual journey. And he risks losing significant parts of his spiritual life. From the passage that we've turned to this morning, Paul is encouraging us to be oriented in the right direction. And that's the title of the sermon today, Oriented in the Right Direction. Listen to these familiar words from Paul in Colossians chapter 3. We're just going to look at the first four verses. Paul writes this, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." What is it that keeps a person oriented in the right direction? What keeps a believer from being lost as he negotiates through the unfriendly territory of the world in which he lives? This morning, I want us to, as we prepare for the Lord's table, I want you to notice four truths that are terrific that will help you and me stay regularly oriented in the right direction. And they're powerful truths. They will help us as we seek to walk with God in our lives from day to day. And let's pray and ask the Lord to help us here. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for all that we have in Christ. And we pray this morning as we take a little glimpse at that, as we prepare to receive your table, that our hearts would be encouraged with all that you have provided for us. Great theological truths that can help us stay oriented in our lives in the right direction. And so would you, by your Spirit, encourage our hearts today. Teach us truth. We need your help. We are not sufficient. And so we pray that by your Spirit, you would lead us into these truths today for your own glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. These four truths, and here's the first one. Affirm your reality. For me to be oriented in the right direction, I have to affirm the reality that I actually am in, that I have been raised with Christ. We're going to look at each one of these phrases, and you notice from that first one there where Paul writes, "If ye then be risen with Christ," the word "if" you could just as easily translate with our English word "since." Since you have been raised with Christ, that's the idea of this word. The word "risen," of course, is basically the idea of what you think of it when you say raised, co-resurrected with Christ. It's an accomplished fact. You and I entered into Christ's death and into his resurrection at the very moment of our salvation. That's the theological truth. I and you as a believer, we have been raised with Christ. Paul said it this way in Galatians 2 and verse 20. He writes this, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm living it this way. I'm living it by the faith of the Son of God, the one who loved me and the one who gave himself for me. Since our salvation, you and I share a life with Christ. It's a shared life with him. Romans chapter 6, Paul said it this way, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Now, very, very often when you and I hear the word baptize or baptism, we automatically think of what's behind me. We automatically think of water baptism. Don't think that when you read this passage. That's not what Paul is talking about here. It's an immersing into Christ's death and resurrection. That's the baptism that he's talking about. So know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And you hear that passage about every time we baptize somebody, that water experience following salvation is a picture of this experience. That I, as a believer, have a shared life with Christ. That is my reality. I have been crucified with him. I have participated in his death. And I have been raised with him as well. And now I walk in this new life that I have. That is what we're talking about here. In Romans chapter 6, here, let me just read just a couple of verses to us here. Romans 6, you'll see this again. Here's what Paul writes in Romans 6, verse 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." How can that be so? Because I have a shared life with Christ. I have died with him in his death. I am crucified with him. And I have been raised with him to walk in this new life that I have. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members," as our King James says, "instruments." If you write in your Bible, you might want to write the word "weapons." That's what the word means. "Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, as weapons of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." When you and I got saved, we entered into this new dimension. We possess a shared life with Christ, a divine life, if I could say it that way, and an eternal life. We don't share merely an endless existence. There's a heavenly quality that comes in the life of every believer since the Spirit of God has come to live inside of us. And the fact that we are risen with Christ, that is the pathway toward our not yielding ourselves, ourselves as weapons of unrighteousness. That doesn't happen. We don't walk in holiness by sheer determination. And if you've ever tried that, you know that doesn't work. You know the futility of that. You know that you got off to a good start, but you couldn't make it happen. At some point, your determination waned. Your absolute intense discipline failed. And that's true of every single one of us. You can never live the Christian life on sheer determination. And that's why for you and me to live with this compass in our pocket, if I could say it that way, that's always pushing northward, that's always pointing in the right direction. In order for me to do that, I have to first affirm the true reality that I live in as a Christian. I have a divine life. I have the Spirit of God living inside of me. I have participated with Christ. I am crucified with Him. I am raised now to live with Him and by His power working in me daily. I must, to live oriented in the right direction, affirm this reality. Secondly, look at what he says in the next phrase of verse 1. I must also accept my responsibility. Here's the reality. I have been raised with Christ. Here's the responsibility. Then live with an eternal perspective. If I have been raised with Christ, I need to constantly be living with an eternal perspective. My compass always pointing northward. Do you see what he says there? He's speaking about our actions. He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. In order for me to live oriented in the right direction, this has to be me. And I am empowered to do this by the life of Christ inside of me. But I have to be aiming, and that's the idea of seek here. And it's a present tense here. It means keep on seeking. And sometimes we seek things. Don't we do this? We've lost something. And I cannot find my keys. And now you're going on this adventure. You're seeking your keys. You're searching to find something that's lost. You lost this paper that you really need. And so you're going on a search, an intense search, to find what you had lost. That's not the idea of this word. The idea of this word is not searching for something that you've lost. It's aiming at something. When Paul uses the word seek here, we could just as easily understand that word to be aim at. So what he's saying here is aim at those things which are above. That's the idea. And so he tells us, this is what you to be aiming at. Aim at those things which are above. Aim at literally upward things. That's a literal translation there. Aim at upward things. And this, of course, refers to the heavenly realm. It refers to the spiritual values that characterize Christ and His kingdom. Things like tenderness and kindness and gentleness and patience and forgiveness and wisdom and strength and purity. And all of those things that we treasure. Paul says, aim at upward things, things like that. Just like Jesus said in his famous Sermon on the Mount, you know this verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, those kinds of things. And all these other things are going to be added to you, he says. So what does it mean to be occupied? To be aiming at the heavenlies, it means we want to be occupied with the one who is there. Do you see what he says? Seek those things which are above. Here's why you do that, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. That's why we seek those things which are above. We're seeking Christ, the one who is our life. Those are our actions. Be aiming at this. We also do this in our thoughts. And you see that in verse 2. Still part of accepting my responsibility. He says, set your affections on things above. Aiming has to do with my actions. The word for set your affections is the word phroneo. It literally means think. That's what the word is, to think. So he's saying here, think upward thoughts. That's what he's telling us. We not only seek heaven, aim at heaven, we must think heaven. Think upward thoughts. Our whole disposition is supposed to be oriented toward heaven. Just like that compass that we've got. If Dan had had a compass in his pocket, he would have been in a lot better shape to know how to get out of the lost situation that he was in and very threatening conditions. And when you and I, with the life of Christ inside of us, and a compass there that's always pointing north, when we live in a world, just imagine you've been dropped into a place, another country. You don't know that language. You don't know those people. You don't know that terrain. You don't know anything about where you are. And how challenging that would be if you had no help. And that's the way it could be for anyone who's living in this world, surrounded by so many dangerous things, and they have no help. That's the average person out there. But you and I, we have the life of Christ inside of us. That is our reality. We have been raised with Him. And so that gives me, by God's grace and by His power, the opportunity to live aiming at heaven and thinking heaven. Thinking upward thoughts is the idea. Well, how do we function that way? How do you function living in the world as a citizen of heaven? Notice the third thing that he says in verse 3. Thirdly, acknowledge the reason. You are dead, he says. Literally, you have died. He's saying here, in different words, the same thing he said in Romans chapter 6. You have died. Don't yield your instruments as weapons, your members as weapons of unrighteousness. You have died to that. You are bigger than that, if I could say it that way. You have the powerful life of Christ working inside of you. And because of that reality that we have been risen with Christ, we have died to this old world system that's always trying to push us in a certain direction. And we got all of this because of Christ. Paul said it this way in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world, he says. So we're talking, this is strong, very important theological truth for me to understand, to live always oriented in the right direction. I have been crucified with Christ. The world is crucified to me, and I am unto the world. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So I am dead, Paul says, for you are dead. And here's another thought. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Hid has the idea of protection. We hide things for protection. If you have a safe at home or a safe deposit box, you have important things in that box to protect them. When your grandkids are coming over and you've got things that you would normally have out on your shelves that are dangerous for them, you push those in the back or you put them in a cupboard to protect them. You hide them. To protect. And so the idea of hiding here is protection, keeping us away from danger. That's the idea here. And then I love the way he says, with Christ. So I'm hidden with Christ, the one who sticks closer than a brother, in God. That's some pretty good protection, don't you think? That's terrific protection. This is the way I am. In my life, now, the average person that you know out there who doesn't know Christ does not have this. They don't enjoy this. They have not been raised with Christ. They do not have the active, powerful work of the Spirit of God working inside of them, enabling them so that that compass is pointing northward. They don't have that. They don't have the kind of protection that you and I enjoy, because our life is protected in Christ with God. That's a great truth for us. Just as Brother Rob read to us this morning, and I wanted him to read that passage to see all that we have in Christ. If Christ is for us, he read, who can be against us? Who is going to be able to stand against us, knowing that we are hid with Christ in God? Who's going to do that? No, no, no. We are more than conquerors through Christ. And then finally, verse 4, anticipate the revelation. Although the world may not now recognize those lives that are hidden with Christ in God, that is not always going to be the case. There is a day coming that we call the revelation. That day is coming, and Paul is referring to that day in verse 4. And we ought to be anticipating that. Listen to what he says. For you are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. And then he says this. Now, in that moment of time, when Christ, and I love what he says next, our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. There is coming this time. And for me to be oriented in the right direction, I must recognize this. I must affirm this is my reality. I have been raised with Christ. I accept the responsibility that I have to aim at things above, upward things, to think upward thoughts. And God is the only one who can empower me to do that. The most disciplined person in here cannot do it apart from God. The most determined person cannot do it apart from God. Only the working power of God inside of us can enable us to accept this responsibility. And then we acknowledge the reason for that. I am dead to myself and to the world, and I am protected with Christ in God. And it's going to get even better, because one day when Christ, and I am not my life, he is my life. I have been raised to new life with him. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. And we don't have time to go. If you're taking notes, you may want to jot down Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. That is the passage that speaks about the revelation and us returning with Christ in glory. So these are the great truths that help us. And the point I want to make about this is we are about to observe the Lord's table here is this. We wouldn't have this apart from what Christ has done for us. If Christ had not come and died and shed his blood for us, we would not be enjoying the things that we enjoy today. The only way that we're able to enjoy them is because we have a Savior in Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you find yourself constantly struggling, you find yourself constantly, aimlessly wandering around, cannot figure out life, you have tried everything that you could possibly think of to make it work, but it's not working. and you find yourself so discouraged and struggling here, come to Christ. Come to Christ. You will never be able to sort your life out on your own. And God made it that way. And God made it that way because He designed the entire universe around Himself. For of Him and through Him and back to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. You know what that means? That means you and everything you know came from God. You and everything you know, everybody you know, works properly only through God. For of Him and through Him are all things. And back to Him, everything you and everything you know is supposed to point back to God. That's the way He designed it. And so it is futile for any human being to try to make life work apart from God. You're fighting God. You're not going to win that battle. So come to Christ. Jesus Christ is God's answer to the whole world for our big need. And He's the only answer. And He's the answer for everyone. Everyone can come and find new life in Christ. Everyone can be able to have the capacity to live oriented in the right direction, so that when you face dangers, you can find yourself looking to Christ and finding the help that you need to move in that right direction. And that's by what Jesus has done for us on the cross today.